G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. So we've been looking at the issue of spiritual gifts. We can get that first slide up, thanks, Andrew. Oh, yeah, you got it. Spiritual gifts. And we're going to move our way through these, but let's just read from verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Isn't it interesting? He keeps saying to another, to another, to another, to another. He's emphasizing that different believers have different gifts. And he says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Now, we're going to skip the next few verses, but in the next few verses, he just builds on that, where he's saying to another, to another, to another. He's saying, listen, we are all members of one body. And it's not, you know, like not everybody's an eye, not everyone's an ear, not everyone's a foot. And an eye can't just function just by itself, and a foot can't function by itself, and an ear can't function by itself. They're all necessary. Imagine if you were just one big eyeball. What would you do? You could just blink. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to walk, you wouldn't be able to eat, you wouldn't be able to do anything. Imagine if you were just like a left nostril. Well, you could sort of take in air and take out air, but there's not much more. And so there's different members, but collectively we are one body. And to one is given the word of wisdom, to one is given the word of knowledge, to one is giving the gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles. Can you see it's so important that we understand not one person has all the gifts? Now, as an individual, you may experience moving in all the gifts. God will. I haven't experienced that. I've moved in most of the gifts, at least 7 out of the 9. But I'm believing and expecting some of those others to manifest in my life as well. But you will have at least one spiritual gift that you'll find God will use you in oftentimes. Now, if you've missed the other parts, this is the third part that we're going into. You need to listen to the first two parts. They are up on the website, on the homepage about spiritual gifts, and we're going to just keep adding to that until we complete this series. I just need to let you know that probably, remember I've been talking about discipleship? That will probably be put on hold till next year, because just during the week, the Lord just gave me permission and said, take the time you need to take to get this done. Hey, so I'm not sure how long we're going to be with this. I don't think we're going to be too much more than about 7 or 8 parts, say, all up. I think it'll probably be around then, because I was feeling so rushed last week, thinking, oh man, I've got to get this done, and I've got to get, and then just during the week, the Lord said, slow it down. This is what I want you to do. So I want you to take your time and just really minister this. So we understand the purpose is not to give you knowledge. I don't want your head to get fatter. I want you to understand what the gifts are and how they work so that you can begin to operate them. Because as a member of this body, we need you to function in the gift that God's given you. Hey, You may be the only one that functions in a certain gift here in this church. And so if you don't know what gift you've got and how it works and how to function in it, then we'll hurt. And God may raise up others. I mean, let's say, for example, you kind of know what God wants you to do, but you're too scared to do it. God will use others, but it won't be their gift. He may just move on people. I've been used in other gifts that they're not gifts that I have, but I've been used. And I know that oftentimes God will do that because the person with the gift either isn't there or they're too scared to step out. And so, anyway, so we're not going to read verses 12 to 26 because it's talking about just illustrating the body. But we'll go to verse 27 where he's bringing his conclusion. He says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles?" And the answer obviously is no, not all are apostles, because we're all different members. "Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." So let me just recap some things that we have looked at over the last couple of weeks. We spent a big deal of time, particularly in the first week, just on verse 7. "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And so the gifts of the Spirit are called the manifestations of the Spirit. And they are in a class by themselves. There are many gifts, spiritual gifts, that God has. We touched on some of those last week. Scripture says eternal life is a gift from God. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. That's a spiritual gift, right? But these gifts, these nine that are listed here, are in a separate class. They are called manifestations of the Spirit, and they are supernatural in nature. And we looked at how in verse 7 it says it's manifestation of Spirit is given to each one. You have been given a gift, according to the Bible. And we looked at that in great detail, so I don't want to go into that, just to remind you. And the purpose of it is to profit all. It's to glorify God. That's why God gives the gift, saying. We looked and we've spent some time, and we will continue to spend some time over the weeks, is we need to renew our thinking and stop seeing the gifts of the Spirit as an optional extra. If you see the gifts as just, well, yeah, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. You will never move out in any substantial way in the gifts of the Spirit. You have to see it as an absolute necessity. Now, it's not necessary for you to get to heaven to move in the gifts of the Spirit. But if you want to do the works that Jesus has designed for you to do, you have to see this. This is not an optional extra. God, I need this in my life. That's why he says earnestly desire these gifts. And so I've certainly in my own life, as God has corrected me with that, you know, like, and I've stopped seeing them as an optional extra. I've seen myself flow in them much more freely than I ever have. And the reason we do that is because Jesus didn't see them as an optional extra. He would often appeal to the supernatural manifestations in his own ministry. When people would say, "How do we know you really who you are?" He would say, "Well, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. What more do you need?" And so that's a demo, you know, like, if we don't have these things working in our life, then we've just got a good idea, and the world is filled with good ideas. Buddhism is some great ideas, some great philosophies. It's just about being gentle and kind to people, treating them with honor and with respect. There's nothing wrong with that. And it'll probably help you live a good life and a peaceful life. But we need to understand the God we serve is a supernatural being. And he lives in you. And if you don't ever move in the gifts of the Spirit, then that's the saddest thing of all, that you have a relationship with a supernatural being, but you're living a natural life. And you are no different to your neighbors or your work associates or your family that doesn't know Jesus. And if you continue to see it as, "Oh, well, God, if you do something in me, you do it. If you don't, you don't," you'll never move to any substance. You need to see it. "I need this in my life. Jesus, you said earnestly desire the greater gifts. That's what I'm going to do." In order for you to be able to move in the Spirit, and move in the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to need to move by faith. It takes faith. It's not an easy thing. When God shows you something, it's not an easy thing because your flesh will be saying, bro, don't do it. You're going to look like a fool. What if nothing happens? Don't do it. Don't do it. That's where speaking in tongues is so important. That's another prerequisite to moving in the gifts of the Spirit. It's to speak in tongues and not feel ashamed or feel weird to speak out loud in tongues takes faith. And if you can't do that, you'll never move in the gifts of the Spirit. It's the doorway, hey. Speaking in tongues is the doorway to moving into the, all the other gifts, hey. So we'll go to the next slide. Thanks, Andrew. So we talked about how to the recipient, the gifts of the Spirit is like a box that's gift-wrapped. It's wonderful. It's like, you know, someone is in need of healing and you move in the gifts of healings and see that person restored. It's a wonderful gift. But to you, when you're ministering it, it's not like a little boxed gift. It's like a weapon. You understand that you are breaking through strongholds of the enemy, hey? And that's the way you need to see it. If you don't move in the gifts, you're leaving your weapons behind. And they're powerful weapons, hey? Mighty through God for the destruction of fortresses. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
So we looked at, we'll go to the next one, thank you. We looked at how there are different categories of gifts. There are gifts that say something, there are gifts that do something, and there are gifts that reveal something. And so the gifts that say something are known as the utterance gifts, and that's prophecy, kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. The gifts that do something are called the power gifts, and they are faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings. And the gifts that reveal something, the revelation gifts, are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Now, in all three categories, I've listed them in order of importance. All right? So of the utterance gifts, prophecy is the greatest of the three utterance gifts. And we'll look at that in more detail. But, you know, like the Bible talks about, greater is one who prophesies than he who speaks in a tongue, unless that person interprets. And so prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, and tongues is greater than interpretation of tongues. Of the three power gifts, the greatest of them is faith. And then the working of miracles, the gifts of healing. And I'll prove those to you as we go, as we get to them. And then the three that reveal something, the word of wisdom is the greatest. That's why the Bible says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. We want to move in the greater gifts. Hey? The greatest of all the nine gifts is the word of wisdom. And I touched on that last week, and we'll probably look a bit more about it today. You know, I know one of the questions that will be coming up, and I certainly hope that I've been stirring it up, is how do I know what gift I've got? Because you've got at least one gift, eh? Well, for starters, it's listening to some of this stuff that we're teaching. Identifying the nature and how these operate. And I want to give details on how they operate, not just what they are, but how they operate. So how you can recognize, you know, when God's showing you something or doing something. You need to meditate on these things. That's why they're up on the website. Listen over them. Take some notes. Think about them. Meditate on them. As they become bigger in your thought life, you'll find a desire to move in these things begins to grow. Hey, and then let the desire grow in you. Hey, a desire to flow. See yourself flowing in some of these things. You know, like as we talk about some of these gifts and you think about it, begin to imagine yourself flowing in these things and say, God, I'd love to do that. And be open, you know, like, don't just think about what gift do you have. Be open to move in any gift because God will use you from time to time in any of the gifts. And so there in verse 31 of chapter 12, it says, earnestly desire the greater gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. It's interesting that the King James Version says covet earnestly. And we've looked at how the word, this word covet is actually, most of the time in scriptures, it's used in a negative way. You shall not covet. And yet here, God gives us permission to covet something. Covet means to be burning with a desire. That's in the Greek, the word that's translated covet earnestly or earnestly desire is the word zelu. And it means, yeah, it's from where we get the word zealous or zealot. And it means to burn with a passion. And it's often used in a negative terms, like to burn with hatred, to burn with envy, to burn with jealousy. but it has been used in a positive sense. And here it's used in a positive sense. He's saying burn with a desire to move in the greater gifts. Burn with that. See, if you burn with a desire for that, you're not seeing it as an optional extra, are you? You're seeing it, God, I need this. I need this. I need this. I want my family to know that you're alive. I want my neighbors to know you're alive. Man, I need this in my life. Burn with it. And you find that as you're earnestly desiring, you're making room in your life to flow in this. And so it's very, very important. Hey. So understand too that while we're looking at the gifts separately, that many of them work in conjunction with one another. There's a lot of overlap. And you'll see that. We've seen some of that too. But you'll see a lot more of that as we go. So last week we looked at word of knowledge. I want to say a couple of things about it then move on. So the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation of certain facts in God's mind. So we'll go to the next one. Thanks, Andrew. So the three revelation gifts, I put like an eye as basically symbolic. To reveal something means you see, right? And all three revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning spirits, enables you to see things that you couldn't possibly see in your own effort. You need to understand, with all of the gifts of the Spirit, there is nothing you can do in your natural self to enable you to do these things. These are supernatural manifestations that come from God, and He's put them in you, right? He's put certain ones in you. But no amount of study, no amount of physical training will ever enable you to do any of these things. But God will give you the ability to do things that you just couldn't do in your own self. And so the word of knowledge is when you get a revelation of certain facts that you couldn't possibly know. And those facts could be things in the past or things in the present. It could be about someone. It could be about an event. But that's what the word of knowledge is. Hey, it's not the gift of knowledge. It's the gift of the word of knowledge. So it's a word of knowledge. God has all knowledge, doesn't He? But He gives us a fragment, a word of knowledge, an insight into something, hey. And so, you know, I've heard some people say, you know, you can't just operate these when you want. Yes, you can. You can operate these. Hands up if you can speak in tongues. Can you speak in tongues anytime you want? See what I mean? You can do that anytime you want. There are regulations about how the gifts should operate, and we will talk about those further down the track. Talks about how let there be only two or three that speak in tongues, and if there's no interpreter, let them be silent. Let the prophet speak, two or three. There needs to be order in the church. But just like you can speak in tongues, which is a supernatural manifestation, you can move in the gift that God's given you at any time. And there's people that are forever waiting for God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in the early days when it first began, it was a brand new thing. They used to have what was called tarry meetings where people waited to get baptized in the Holy Spirit until some people started to get a revelation. No, it's already available. We don't have to wait. We can receive that. And then suddenly that was just old hat now. People can receive it any time. It only takes a few seconds and you can just receive the baptism of the Spirit and start speaking in tongues. And this is kind of a vestige that's left over from those tarry days where people think, well, you can't move in these gifts anytime you want. You've got to wait for God. No, you don't. God's waiting for you. He's given you the gift. And you can stir yourself up and begin to move in it. Hey, and the only thing is that God says, let there be some order in the way we do things. Hey, if you had to wait for God to make you do a gift, why would He put instructions about order? Does that make sense? Why would He say, let there be only two or three? Wouldn't God know? Is he losing count? Oh, what were we up to? Two? Was it two or three? I'm not sure. Oh, I'll tell them to count, eh? No, the reason He does that is because it's up to us. We can exercise it, and He's always on. I'm going to prove that as we go through this series. God is always on. He's talking to you all the time. He's revealing things and showing things. You're the one that switches on and off. And the more we learn to switch on, the more we can start receiving. Hey, and it becomes a lot of fun. So we looked at some examples of that last week. We looked at Elisha and how the Syrians would plan all these ambushes, and Elisha would receive the word of knowledge. He would receive what they were planning. And so then he would send word to the king of Israel, don't go down through that mountain pass. Watch out, they're coming through that way. And so he'd go another way. And the Syrian king got so frustrated with this. Like, man, what's going on? What are you generals is a traitor? Who is it? And then one spoke up and said, no, none of us are traitors. It's that Elisha. He's the one. He's telling you what you whisper in your own bedroom. He's telling the king of Israel what's going on. Elisha was moving in the word of knowledge. God was showing him what was being planned. And we looked at Ananias in Acts chapter 9. We're not going to turn there, but we looked at it last week. How he received the word of knowledge, specific information that he didn't know. He had no idea. Where God said to him, go to a street called Straight. There's a house there, and it's owned by a guy. What was his name? Judas. By a guy called Judas. Knock on the door. When Judas opens the door, ask for Saul of Tarsus. And go up to Saul, and you're going to lay hands on him, and you're going to heal him. He's had a vision of me. And he's had a vision of you. And you're coming to lay hands and heal him. How could he know all of those things? In fact, it was so clear, this word of knowledge was so clear, he said, hey, Lord, if this is the same Saul of Tarsus that I've heard about, like, he's a killer. He's a murderer. You sure you want me to go and pray for him? Shouldn't I just call the spirit of death on him and just like, finish him while he's in bed? And he received these words of knowledge, hey? Things that no way he could have known in his own self. How do these gifts work? Now, this is for the word of knowledge, but it also works for all of the gifts, hey? You need to understand, you're not waiting to feel the presence of God or some special anointing. And that's where we make a mistake the majority of the time. We're waiting for God to slap us in the back of the head. Come on, wake up, go! You don't have to feel anything like, God, I don't feel you. Like, what should I do? You're not waiting for that, the Holy Spirit to come all over you. All you need is a burning desire to be used of God that will override the fear of man. Because that's the big thing that stops people. A lot of people think, oh, no, I'm not doing that. You know? And you need to stay out of your head. You need to stay in the arena of faith. If you start analyzing it and go, oh, no, you know. Remember I told you the story about Clark Taylor? He said, Lord, give me a word of knowledge. See, he wasn't waiting for God. God was waiting for him. And as soon as he activated himself, God gave him a word of knowledge. And he said, there's a guy in here with a plate, metal plate in his head and four screws, and one of the screws is loose. And it was just a Bible study in a house. There was only like eight people there. And he's thinking, what are the chances that's right? So he said, God, give me another word of knowledge. If you get into your reasoning, you'll never launch out because you'll think, oh, no. And you'll just start reasoning in a way. Hey, it's kind of like a couple of months ago in the home group, we had some time where we ministered to different people and we were ministering to Anthony. And a number of us had some words for Anthony and they were really positive about his future and things that God was going to do for him, just building him up and encouraging him. And that it was really good. You know, you could just really sense that God was ministering to him. And then at the end of it, Joel said, I've got a word for you too, Anthony. He said, but it's different to what everybody's told you. And we were all looking at Joel and he goes, God just told me he's going to gut you like a fish. Now, if he got into his head, he would have thought, no, that's not fitting. Joel didn't even understand what that meant. Gut you like a fish? Joel's never been fishing, so he doesn't know. But to Anthony, who's an avid fisherman, that meant the world. That just got his attention and blessed him. He understood fully the illustration that God was doing and brought that up with me the next night and said, man, how did Joel do that? What did he do? You'll never move if you get into your head. That's the point that I'm making. Don't start analyzing it. Stay in faith. When God shows you something, just move. Does that mean you'll never make a mistake? No, you will make mistakes. That's why the scripture talks about, like, you know, with prophecy, let them be two or three and let the others judge. It's not judged to, like, you missed it outside, we're stoning you now. But it's in terms of, like, just assisting and helping and correcting. I remember I was teaching some of the students years ago. This is when God really began to open me up to, we were learning from Apostle Garnett, and so then I wanted to teach some of the students at school about moving in the gifts, and they would get all sorts of weird and wonderful things, you know, and sometimes it was good and sometimes it wasn't. There was one guy, every time he closed his eyes, all he saw was a triangle. Every time. Come on, let's pray for this person. He goes, I see a triangle, I don't know what that means. And then there were others that were seeing things and they would sort of share it, and then the person receiving would say, yeah, that's it. Wow. And they would share about where they're at and how, you know. And then there were others that would just sort of kind of launch out and just start seeing, like, people being killed in car accidents. And like, mate, that's that computer game you're playing, okay? Get out of that, right? And just teaching them and correcting them. It's not to condemn. It's just to help us learn and to grow, hey? So they work, you know, you don't wait for the presence of God to come all over you. There are times where you will feel nothing at all. There are many, many times I've felt nothing, but just did what God wanted me to do, and the manifestations of the Spirit just came into action. Hey. Now, how does the word of knowledge come? It can come through a picture. Because oftentimes God will show me a picture of something or a vision. Sometimes it can come through a dream. Sometimes it's an impression. I often get this. This is the way it works for me. A knowing, an impression. That's the only way I can say it. It's like a knowing. Sometimes that knowing is really faint. It's like, oh, God, was that you? Or, oh, I'm not sure. You know. And sometimes that knowing is so strong, you can describe it fully. Hey, I remember when Joy, she had cancer and she was believing God, and we didn't understand some things. We were learning and we were growing, and things were getting tough in her body, and she was really struggling, you know, like, and she wasn't getting a lot of sleep. And there was this one night, it was probably about 2 or 3 in the morning, and she just wasn't able to sleep. So I got up, and she was in pain, and so I got up and I sat next to her. You know, sometimes you can go through something and it's not the will of God and you don't understand, but you just walk. Just walk. Just keep walking. That's what faith is, eh? You don't need to know all the answers. Just walk. Take the steps. Understand that, you know, like, God loves you immensely, and he's looking to bring that into manifestation in your life, hey? So we didn't understand, but she was in pain. And it was 2 in the morning, so I got up and I sat next to her, and I just began to pray in tongues, and she was praying in tongues, and we were just focusing in on the Lord, hey? 2 in the morning, I was sleepy as I was tired. I felt nothing. All of a sudden, there was this knowing. It was a strong knowing. I have to sing a song. 2 in the morning. I have to sing it. And just in myself, I said, God, you want me to sing a song. I wasn't saying it out loud. I was saying it within myself. God, you want me to sing a song. If you want me to sing, I'll sing. What do you want me to sing? You just tell me what you want me to sing, and I'll sing it. And instantly, I got a song. But it wasn't a Christian song. It was a worldly song. And I'm thinking, you want to sing that? And I thought, no, well, I'm not questioning this. I believe this is what you want me to do. I'm trying to share with you how these gifts work. Hey, and a knowing can be it. So I began to sing. It was a James Taylor song, You Got a Friend. I'll try to sing it without crying, hey, because I knew what God was saying. He was speaking to Joy. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Hey, yes, I'll be there. You got a friend. And as I'm singing this, I'm crying, Because I know God is saying to my wife, I love you. And as I'm crying, she's crying. And she was crying for a number of minutes, and then she composed herself and she said to me, why did you do that? And I said, do what? She said, why did you sing that? And I said, God told me to. She said, how did you know? And I said, know what? And she told me about how when she first came to Christ, and there were all sorts of problems that were in her life. Her life just seemed like such a mess. It seemed like it was impossible for this thing to ever turn around. And she was in her car, and she was crying out to God, and she was saying, God, how are you going to fix this? And this song came on the radio, You Got a Friend. And she knew that God was singing that to her. And she never told anyone about that. And that night in 2010, what was it? Something like 23, 24 years after that song, I sang that song. Now, don't you think that would have encouraged her? She wasn't healed. There was no healing that manifested. But she was encouraged. God, you are here. And I don't understand what's happening, but you're here. You haven't forgotten. So the gifts of the Spirit can often operate through a knowing. And that knowing, sometimes it can be faint, and sometimes it can be really strong. Hey, it can be a word. It can be something like you hear with your spiritual ears, and you can repeat it. And sometimes that word or that phrase or that sentence can be really, really loud, and other times it can be really, really soft. Hey, it's not something you hear with your physical ears. It's something you hear within your spirit. Hey, I talked about that last week, you know, with there was a young person that we'd caught up with, and he was telling us about what he was doing, and I kept hearing a voice saying, he's lying, he's lying. And I was thinking, man, I'm so critical, I shouldn't be critical. I'm thinking, oh, because he was telling us all the awesome things he's been doing, and I just wanted to be happy for him. That's awesome. And yet there was this voice within me saying, he's lying. Okay, man, I shouldn't be so judgmental. And then eventually, when it kept persisting, I realized, no, that's God. And it came. Anyway, that's you can hear that in the other message. So that's the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom, we touched on that last week, and I want to just share a few more things about that. It's a supernatural revelation of the mind, the purpose, and the will of God with respect to issues. Hey, it is not normal wisdom. You know, if you don't understand something, you can ask God for wisdom. James chapter 1 says that. If anyone is lacking wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. Notice it says, if anyone lacks wisdom. But the word of wisdom in 1 Corinthians, we remember we read, it said, to one is given the word of wisdom. So this word of wisdom is not normal wisdom. Normal wisdom is available to anyone. The wisdom of Solomon is available to anyone. All you've got to do is ask God in faith. Just say, Lord, just give me wisdom here. I don't know what to do in this situation. And he will give it to you if you ask in faith. But the word of wisdom isn't available to anyone. It's available to one. Indicating that not everybody will move in the word of wisdom. Hey, it's not just knowing God's will, but it's also knowing his purpose. Hey, not just what God wants done, but why he wants it done and what he will achieve as a result of it. Hey, the difference between the word of wisdom and word of knowledge is word of knowledge has to do with the present or the past, things that have already occurred or are currently occurring. The word of wisdom has to do with things that are yet to occur. And that's why it's the greatest of the revelation gifts, but it's also the greatest of all gifts. There's no greater gift than to know God's mind and purpose before it has come to pass. I shared about it last week. My brother, God showed me, he gave me a word of wisdom that he would come to Christ. And I shared that. That was far more powerful than the word of knowledge. Now, I didn't know that he had some serious near misses. He was a motorbike rider and had some potential accidents, and this thought began to go through his mind. If you died in an accident, where would you go? Now, he didn't share that with anybody. And but what he did is within his heart, he just thought, man, I need to have a relationship with Christ. He knew that I was a Christian and he'd heard me share about it. So he was but he was too proud to admit that to anybody. Now, I didn't know that, but God had given me a word of wisdom that he was going to become a Christian. So I went and I told him, I said, you're going to become a Christian. Now, that was far more powerful than just getting a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge would have been powerful if I came up and said, you're thinking about becoming a Christian. But for me, for God to show me what was going to happen, and he didn't just show me what was going to happen with him, showed me what was going to happen with my mum. I said, you're going to become a Christian, and after you, mum's going to become a Christian. And that happened. Within a few days, he came to Christ, and 2 weeks later, my mum came to Christ when she saw the impact that it had on his life. It is the greatest of all gifts, hey, to know something that's going to come to pass before it has come to pass is an awesome privilege. Hey, it's what in the Old Testament was referred to as prophecy. In the New Testament, the gift of prophecy is not the same as Old Testament prophecy. Have a look at 1 Corinthians 14. Give me an oi when you're there. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Now here, this is the parameters of New Testament prophecy. It says, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. In the New Testament, prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is for edification, that's building up, exhortation, that's bringing up, or comfort. Notice it says nothing about the future. Doesn't say he who prophesies will know what's going to happen. New Testament prophecy is different to Old Testament prophecy. New Testament prophecy is to build up, to bring up, and to hold up. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Old Testament prophecy was foretelling. New Testament prophecy is forthtelling. You're telling forth what God has shown you. It's a message from God. Now, sometimes that message from God can overlap with some of the other gifts. When I said to John, God showed me you're going to become a Christian, I was prophesying, but also there was a word of wisdom that I was prophesying and bringing out. And so they often work hand in hand. All right. And so the word of wisdom is what the Old Testament used to describe or describes as prophecy. All right. That's what it is. So, hallelujah. And we saw examples of its use. You know, that same example of Ananias, when God spoke to him and said, go to a street called Straight. There's a guy called Judas that has a house there. Knock on the door. Ask for a guy called Saul of Tarsus. He's had a vision of you coming and praying for him to be healed because he's blind and stuff. That was all word of knowledge. But there was word of wisdom in there as well. God said to Ananias, I've shown Saul that there's a man called Ananias who's going to come and heal him. That's something that hadn't yet happened. Saul had received a word of wisdom, something that was yet to occur, that there was some random guy called Ananias who was going to come find him at this house that no one knew where he was and going to lay hands on him and see him get healed. And it came to pass. Even when Ananias objected and said, man, this guy's a killer. Are you sure you want me to do this? And God said, go, because he is a chosen vessel of mine and he will appear before kings on my behalf. That was a word of wisdom. God showed Ananias things that Saul was going to do in his future ministry. And there are many examples, you know, like many examples in the scriptures. Remember when Jesus spoke with Peter at the end of John? He said, Peter, you know, when you were young, you could gird yourself and go wherever you wanted. But when you get old, others will lead you where you don't want to go. And the scripture says, and he, by this, Jesus signified what manner in which Peter would die. It was a word of wisdom. Jesus received a word of wisdom and told Peter that he was going to live a long life and become an old man. But then he would be led and people would do things to him that he didn't want. That's why in Acts chapter 12, when he got sent into prison, by Herod and he was going to be executed the next day, he slept like a baby. The church were praying. Like, man, we've got to pray for him. We've got to pray for his deliverance. They didn't have that word of wisdom. Peter had the word of wisdom. He was relaxed. Relax, Max. It's all good. He knew there's no way I'm going to die. Jesus told me I'm going to live to be an old man. He slept like a baby. And finally, an angel had to wake him. Hey, get up. Come on. Let's get going. And they walked out of the jail. So the word of wisdom, and there's many examples of that in scriptures. I'm sure you'll find them. It comes similar to the word of knowledge. It can be a picture. It can be a vision. It can be a dream. It can be an impression, a knowing. The Bible calls that the witness of the Spirit. And that can be a strong thing or it can be a faint thing. Hey, it can be like a voice that you hear. And again, that can be faint or that can be really strong. I remember early in our marriage, we just only moved up from Melbourne only probably a year, probably even less than a year. It's about 1990. And I came home from work and Joy said to me, I have to go down to Melbourne. And I said, why is that? And she said, Dad's sick. And I looked at her and I said, your dad's been sick for 2 years. And she goes, no, he's really sick. And I said, well, did somebody call you? And she said, no. She said, I just know. And she said, he's going to die. I have to go down and see him. And I said, well, has the hospital, like, you know, has the hospital, or the doctors, has family called? She said, no one's called me. She said, I just know that he's going to die. I have to go down and see him. So we sent her down to Melbourne. She spent a week with her dad. And he died at the end of that week, like a day before she was due to come back home. Hey, and he wasn't a Christian, but the last night, the night that he died, every time Joy would come into, like he was at home and he was in his bedroom, every time he would come into the room, he would just watch her. Everybody else he just ignored, but he would just watch her. And she'd sort of, like she'd be folding clothes and doing things, and she'd look at him, she goes, are you all right, Dad? And he'd just be looking at her, just going. We believe he knew that he was about to step into eternity. And we had shared the gospel with him. Now, we don't have any evidence that he made a decision, but I don't believe God wastes his time. Hey, there was a reason my wife was sent there. And I believe that night, where he was acting so strange, like people would come up and they would try to talk to him, he would just ignore them. But any time Joy was in the room, he would just watch her. She'd look at him, she goes, do you want me to do something? And he'd just go. And I believe there was a knowledge that was coming upon him that he was about to enter into the next realm and he needed to make a decision. Hey, thank God for the word of wisdom that showed Joy that and that she was able to act on that and go down. I remember Joy's best friend a few years after that, I think it was probably about 1993 or 94, she had been diagnosed with cervical cancer. And she was, it's a long story. She'd actually been believing for cancer for years. Anytime she would get sick, she would say, something's wrong with me. Do you think I've got cancer? I think I've got cancer. You know, and she would be saying that for year upon year upon year, you know, like all the time. Anytime something was wrong, she'd go, I think this is it. I think this is cancer. So then in 1993, I think it was, she called Joy and she said, Joy, I've just come back from the doctors and they said I've got cervical cancer. So I came home from work and she said, I've got to go to Melbourne. I go again. And she goes, Bianca's sick. And I said, really? And she said, yep. She said, she's been diagnosed with cervical cancer. And I said, oh. She said, God told me that I'm going to go to Melbourne. And it's not going to cost more than $300. And I said, well, that's good because that's all we've got. So anyway, I said, all right, well, if you've got to go, ring up and book. She said, I can't. And I said, why not? She said, well, I've already rung. And they said the ticket prices are $478. And she said, well, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, I don't know what to do either. She said, well, God told me it's not going to cost more than $300. And I said, well, I'm glad because that's all we've got. So anyway, we didn't know what to do. She'd received a word of wisdom that she was going to go down to Melbourne and it wasn't going to cost more than $300. But we didn't know what to do with that. We rang the airlines and there was only two airlines back in those days. There was Qantas and there was Ansett. They were the days, eh? Expensive flights. Deregulation, praise God. $478 just to go to Melbourne and back. Well, we didn't know what to do. So I had to cook tea. So I went and I was cooking spaghetti. And she was doing something else. And then a little while later she came in and she said, I have to call now. I've got to call now and make the booking. Now she'd received a word of knowledge. Call now. So I said, all right, we'll call. So I'm there with her and she's on the phone and she rang and said, oh, I want to book a return flight to Melbourne. They took all the details. What, you know, when do you want to go and when do you want to return and stuff. She was going to leave within, I think, a day. Yeah, the next day, actually. So anyway, so they finished it all. And they said, well, that's $478. How would you like to pay for that? She goes, oh, hang on a minute. So she cut the phone and she goes, they said, how would we like to pay? And, they said, how would you like to pay for it now or do you want to pay for it when you collect the ticket? So she cut the phone and she said, oh, they want to know, do we want to pay for it now or do we want to pay for it when we collect the ticket? And I said, we don't have it now. I said, tell them we'll pay for it when we collect the ticket. She goes, oh, okay. So anyway, so she got it and she said, oh, we'll pay for it when we collect the ticket tomorrow. And they said, all right, oh, you know, like in our, like if you get into reasoning, you're going to be thinking, like, what are we doing? They know who we are and where we live. They'll send the boys around to collect it. Anyway, so they're finishing off the call and Micah, he would have been, well, what was it? It was probably 93 or 94. So he must have been like 2.5 or 3 or something. He comes running in as a toddler does, dives onto our bed, starts bouncing around like a trampoline and screaming and yelling and stuff like that, just free to be who he is. And Joy's looking at me and she's going, you know, just keep him quiet. I'm trying to finish this on the phone. And Joy says, oh, sorry about that. And she said, oh, are you a mum? And Joy said, yeah. And she said, oh, well, have you heard about our Mother's Day special? And she said, no, I haven't. And she said, well, we've got a Mother's Day special, because this was in the month of May, so it was coming up to Mother's Day. And so they said, we've got a Mother's Day. For mums, it's a return flight. Like for you, it'll only be $260. And so we were able to book that. But see, if she didn't get the word of wisdom, we wouldn't have been expecting that. And if she didn't get the word of knowledge of when to call, we could have missed it. We could have got some guy who doesn't care who you are, just give me the 478 and you can go. So they work like that. You can get a word, you can get an impression. So the third one, discerning of spirits. And I'll just share a couple of things with this, and then we want to minister in the gifts of the Spirit. So, you know, discerning of spirits is a supernatural revelation of the spiritual realm. Hey, it's an insight into the spiritual realm where you see the activity of angels or demons or even God himself. It's not a natural discernment. It's not, you know, some people say, I've got the gift of discernment. No, it's discerning of spirits. Some people are very apt at being able to judge the right or wrongs, especially in other people. That's not discernment, that's fault finding and nitpicking. That's a critical spirit, hey? If you've got a critical spirit, all it reveals is that you have a problem. If you're harping on about what someone else is not doing in their life, the Bible says you got the same problem in your life. Romans chapter 2 says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judges another. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Discerning of spirits is not being critical or discerning the motives of others. Hey, sometimes God can reveal that through a word of knowledge. That has happened at times, hey, to me. But this is not. Discerning of spirits is seeing into the spirit realm where you see the activity of, of angels or demons, hey? We can see, you can see with the discerning spirit, sometimes God will open your eyes and you'll see not just negative things, you'll see sometimes Jesus himself. Or as I shared the other week, Joy saw the Holy Spirit. She's seen Jesus on a number of occasions. She's seen angels, she's seen demons. Lots of time. I remember one time in youth group, you know, like we were, I called out some people. I just said, look, anybody here who needs healing? And three people came out. And so we just gathered the youth around them and said, come on, let's pray and let's believe God. And Joy saw these angels come around this guy, Jared. And this one angel did a karate chop into his back. He was behind Jared and he just went whack, like as if he's going to hit Jared. And the moment it hit, Joy saw like this black smoke just come out and it just disappeared. And then Jared, he's just standing, like none of us are aware of what's going on, right? Jared's just standing there and all of a sudden he just goes like that. And he goes, oh, and he's feeling his back. He goes, Trav, feel my back. And Travis, his brother's feeling his back. And Travis goes, it's gone. We go, what is it? We're feeling it. Nothing's there. And he goes, that's right, nothing's there. He goes, my muscle was knotted there for ages. He goes, for like over a year. He goes, I had this knot in my stomach, in my back, and I just couldn't move properly and stuff. He said, it's gone. And so him and Trav are feeling his back, you know, like, oh, wow, it's gone. And Joy saw through the discerning of spirits what God was doing. And there's lots of examples in the scriptures. This discerning of spirits it's the least of the three revelation gifts. You might be thinking like, wow, that would be awesome. Like, how could that be the least? See, you can get everything discerning of spirits can get through word of knowledge or word of wisdom. The word of knowledge and word of wisdom is far broader because discerning spirits only shows you activity in the spirit realm. Word of knowledge can be about anything, and word of wisdom can be about anything. But still, discerning of spirits is a pretty cool thing. And for Joy and I, we've often found it working tandem in our lives many, many, many times. I'll get the word of knowledge and she'll get the discerning of spirits. Was it you guys at your apartment? They were experiencing some weird things going on in their apartment, some weird manifestations and feeling like this real feeling of uneasiness. And Tim and Deb, they were part of our home group back then. So they told us about it and they said, oh, there's some really strange things going on in our house. You know, we just think that, like, I don't know, is there something there that shouldn't be there and stuff? And they weren't sure. And anyway, so Joy and I said, well, look, we can come around, we can pray. We'd had a couple of encounters. We weren't experts. I don't think we're experts now, but we've learned some things along the way. So we came and we prayed with Tim and Dale. We just started praying in the Spirit. And instantly, I became aware, as we were praying in the Spirit, I became aware of something that had walked in from another room and stood in their dining room. And just as I'd got that, now, I didn't see anything. It was a word of knowledge. It was just a knowing. And Joy leaned over to me and she said, something has just come in to the dining room and is standing there. It's some demon. And I said, that's all right. So we don't need to be concerned about that. And so we addressed it. We just said, we bind you up. You have no right to be here. And so in the name of Jesus, we command you to be gone. And after I said that, again, I didn't see anything, but there was this knowing that this thing, after I said, get out and we bind you and you be gone, that this thing actually put its legs apart and just folded its arms and stood there. Now, that was just an impression. That's all I can say. I didn't even see, you know, like I didn't see in the spirit or anything like that. I just had this impression that it was just like, here. Yeah. And Joy leaned over to me. She said, it's just crossed its arms and is looking at you. And so just within my mind, I don't know what to do with these things, you know, like, so I'm going, well, Lord, what do we do? And he said, well, you've already commanded it, so you don't need to do that anymore. So I just said, let's all just get in a circle. Let's worship God. We need to be worried about that thing. We've told it to go. It has to go. You know the reason why people fail to receive? Because they don't believe what God says. Well, God, you said I'd be healed, but it's still here. See, you don't believe. Instead of saying it's still here, just say, God, my body says it's still here, but your word says I'm healed. I believe your word. Jesus said, in my name they shall cast out demons. That's what we chose to believe that day. Not what we were sensing or feeling. So we just got in a circle. We just began to worship, just began to sing, and just began to praise God. As we did that, now I didn't sense any of this, but Joy told us later, as we did that, there was this little demon. This one that was standing in the dining was a big one. And there was this little kind of monkey-looking thing that had come in and was standing next to the big one, feeling like really brave because he was next to this big thing. And then as we began to praise God and worship God, this little one, he got really nervous and he's like stressing out, and he went and he's like peering behind the big one. He's kind of watching us, you know, like that. And the big one's just standing there like that, as if like he's just not moved. He's not intimidated. And we just continued to worship God. And as we did, Joy said she saw these two massive angels just come in through the wall and grab them and just drag them out. Hey, all we felt is just, we just began to sense the presence of God. So we just got lost in worship. Hey. And later, when we sat down, Joy said, you want to know what I saw? That's the discerning of spirit, saying. You see that there's a number of gifts that are operating together with them, hey? And so, anyway, there's lots more we can talk about. Maybe I'll talk some more about it next week.